First John chapter number 2, the Bible says in verse 17, the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. As we know, doctrinally speaking, what that is speaking of is our salvation. God's will is that none would perish. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Again, 1 John chapter number 2 and verse 17 says that, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We understand the context by which that is speaking. God's will, again, is for all men to be saved, for everybody. But not just that, God's will is also for all people to be sanctified. We've kind of looked at that a couple months ago and kind of developed that thought and looked at some direction of what the Scripture says about God's will concerning sanctification. So not only is it God's will, just as much it is God's will that you be saved after salvation, it is just equally God's will that you be sanctified. What is that? That you live a holy, clean life. There's an absence in that in Christianity today. You follow Christianity of what's going on, and I don't know if the Lord's mad or not, but he's just got to be scratching his head thinking, what on earth are they doing? That's just contrary. It's just so worldly sometimes. But he tells us his will is that we be sanctified. Not only that, God's will is that we give thanks for all things. That's sometimes harder at different points in our life. You know, Kathy shared that testimony that, hey, everything is okay with Charlotte, and I don't want to put bad thoughts in your head, but would we be thankful if it wasn't? You know, the Bible tells us to be thankful in all things. Hey, that would be hard. And there are hard times in life where you got to really, gotta help me give a heart of thankfulness. That's sometimes difficult. God's will is that for everybody. God wants Brother Sutliff to be saved. He wants him to be sanctified. And he wants him to be thankful. So, yeah, you tell Brother Sutliff. And he wants you too. Every single one of us, this is God's will and plan for your life. But let's talk about everything else here tonight. Everything else. Say, what is that? Now, after that, how we go about that or how God leads us, as I mentioned to our staff this morning in Jeremiah chapter number 1, I think it's around verse 5 or so, God had a plan, specific plan for a man by the name of Jeremiah. He says, before you were even born, I called you. I knew about you. And you know what? That's no different for you, Brother Rice. God, before you were even born, he says, oh, I got a plan for this guy. I got a plan for this lady. And no doubt in our mind, God's plans sometimes are very different from one to the other. Does that mean one is better? Or no, they're just different. God's will is that all would be saved, all would be sanctified, all to be thankful. But we each have a life to live. And through that, God gives us direction. This is what we would call the unrevealed will of God. This is different for everybody. But I like what it says here in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17, because this is so important. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that knoweth the will of God, he that heareth the will of God, he that understandeth the will of God, that's not what it says. He that doeth the will of God. See, we're real good at telling everybody how to fix all the problems, but in our own life, do we do them? Yeah, we know what the will of God is, but are we doing the will of God in our own life? Look at James chapter number 1. Hebrews, James. We reference Hebrews because that is a 13-chapter book, and it will help us find the small book of James. James chapter number 1 and verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Hey, it's a good start to hear the word of God. Faith cometh by preaching, and preaching by the word of God. We need to hear it first, but once we hear it, it is our responsibility to do it. And I think sometimes when people are living contrary to the Word of God, that's a good reason that they just stay out of the church house. Why? Because I don't want to hear about it. When you're not walking right with the Lord, know where you don't want to be? Underneath the preaching of the Word of God. Because I'm going to hear something that I'm going to have to do. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if you be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, you're holding it in your hands, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Deed indicating doing. Now we do not, in no way is salvation tied to our works. Please understand that. But after salvation, we ought to be busy about doing something. The more we're under the Word of God preaching, Brother Parrott will testify in his own personal life, it wasn't until a point where he really got underneath the teaching and preaching of the Word of God that it set him straight on some things in his life. I love Brother Parrott's testimony. Converted Muslim, right? At MIT, invites him to a Bible study about the book of John. What? And forever our lives have been changed. Because of a faithful witness, we are all the benefit of that. But someone just didn't hear the Word of God, but they did something about it. Had to walk away from 25 years or 20 plus years of Roman Catholicism and do something different. Hey, after salvation, God does desire that we do something. What is it that He wants us to do? His will. That's what He wants us to do. Beautiful illustration of this, 1 Samuel chapter number 23. In my Bible reading, I'm going through Samuel. I'm in the 2 Samuel now, but I was thinking about these thoughts, and I was thinking about what, you know, it's something how the Lord just brings all of these. I never would have connected these things had it not been for God. 1 Samuel, I'm not saying it was like a mystical thing, but just the timing of it all. In 1 Samuel chapter number 23 and verse 1, we're going to look at four different passages very quickly. Please do not be concerned. We'll be done in about 10 minutes. 1 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 1. Then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. Information came to David. He heard it. Now what? David wants to go do something, right? Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? We're going to see this played out four times over from now until 2 Samuel chapter number 2, where David had a question about what to do, and he didn't ask Abner, he didn't ask Joab, he didn't ask this guy or that guy. He went directly to the Lord. And in light of all that we've been talking about already, we know that salvation is for everybody. I never have to ask, man, I don't know, is it a good idea for this guy to be saved? Absolutely, 100%. Is it a good idea for this, for me to live holy? Absolutely, 100%. Is it a good idea, God, should I be thankful in my heart? These are questions we don't ask, we should just do. But what about everything else? Hey, I got questions about life. I got questions about what's going on. What do I do with those questions? Well, we follow the example of David. When David didn't know what to do, he went right to the Lord. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? It could go one of two ways. Yes or no. And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. Well, he does that. He goes there, and all of a sudden things start taking a weird turn in the middle of this chapter. In verse 9, and David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. Maybe it wasn't so secret if everybody knew. And he said to Abiathar the priest, this is Abiathar. Man, I wish we had time to go through this whole study. Abiathar is like one priest that got away when Saul killed all the priests. And Abiathar, his family was killed, and here he is. He's the priest to David, and he travels around with him. David's like, you just come with me. I'll protect you. He has a direct line to God. And you know what David doesn't do? Hey, Abiathar, what saith the Lord? No, David says, bring out the ephod. Then said David, O Lord, God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? You know what? He had a question. Do I go fight the Philistines? God said, yes, go fight the Philistines. And then he's fighting the Philistines, and there he is, and something starts taking a weird turn. And he says, I don't know what to do. Are they going to do me wrong? And God says, yeah, they're going to do you wrong. Get out of here. Hey, when you have questions about your life, what do you do? When you have questions about, hey, what's going on around me? Should I go forward with this or should I back away? Do you talk to God? Do you say, hey, you know what? I'm going to close things out for a little while. Bring me the ephod. Bring me the way I can talk to God. Just me and the Lord. Lord, what do you want from me? In 1 Samuel chapter number 30. At this point, David is, I'd say he's undercover, but they all know who he is. And he's with the Philistines. Philistines, good guys or bad guys? Bad guys. So here he is, he's traveling, he's living with the Philistines. Why is he living with the Philistines? Because Saul is trying to kill him. And the Philistines are going to war against Israel. And David's like, I really don't want to do that. I really don't want to go to war against my own people, to which he has been anointed king over already. That was 1 Samuel chapter 16. A lot of time has passed. And the Lord spares him from doing that. And as he's away with the Philistines, the Amalekites come. Remember? The Amalekites come to Ziklag. Remember what happens with that? All the men and the warriors are over here with the Philistines. They get out of having to fight with the Philistines. God's hand is in that. And they come back to Ziklag, where all their women and children and stuff were, and what do they find? They find nothing. It's all gone. Their wives, their children, and all their stuff has been taken by the Amalekites. And all eyes are on David, and they're like, we're going to kill you. And remember, that this is the passage where David encouraged himself in the Lord. Remember that? And David picks himself up after he encouraged himself in the Lord. And look at verse 7. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, who's dead, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Hey, what do you think he wanted to do? His wife, his children, all his stuff is taken by the Amalekites. They all have a sword on their side. They have the anointing of God. It could be 400 against 40,000. It doesn't matter. Do you want me to go? Where do you think David wanted to go? He wanted to go avenge Ziklag. He wanted to go put a whooping on the Amalekites. But before he ever did that, before his emotions got a hold of him, he said, God, is that what you want me to do? It seems obvious. But Abiathar, bring out the ephod. We need to get a hold of God. How many times do you wish in your life that when there was the fork in the road, instead of you looking at the two or three directions in which you could go, before you took one step, you said, bring out the ephod, let's get a hold of God. That's what we ought to do. If you ever have a question about what God wants you to do, let us learn from David and just ask him. I think sometimes we're afraid of the answers. Shall he overtake them? And he answered, pursue. For thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. And sure enough, he brings 600 men, and it works out just fine for him. 2 Samuel chapter number 2. Do you see the same pattern over and over again? Do you want me to go fight the Philistines? Do you want me to retreat from fighting the Philistines? There might be points in your life where God says, move forward. And it was right to move forward. And then you got a sidestep. That's what happened with the Philistines there. He didn't go all the way through with that. Do you want me to avenge Ziklag? Yes, do that. Saul has died. By 2 Samuel, fighting the Philistines, David's best friend, Jonathan, is dead. Saul is dead. And Malachi comes and tells David how it happened. He said that he was the one, but the Lord tells us a different story. They kill the Amalekite. Saul is dead. David's been anointed king some 15, 16 chapters ago. In chapter 2 and verse 1, it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into the cities of Judah? Is it time now? As a ruddy young boy, there was a man that showed up at his house, at the house of Obed, at the house of Jesse, and there was, he lined up all the brothers, remember? Eliab being the obvious choice, and Samuel's like, I found him, here he is, he looks just like Saul. And God said, nope, 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 nope. Samuel's like, do you have any more sons? He's like, we got this little kid outside taking care of the sheep. He's like, bring him in. And the Lord's like, that's the guy. Everybody in the household watches David get anointed king. All his brothers go to war. Hey, take some cheese to your brothers. And there he stands and he walks up, and for the last number of days, I think he said 40 days, the Philistine has been challenging not just Israel, but the God of Israel, mocking. And David's like, this can't be allowed. Saul's like, all right, go ahead, give it a shot. Everything rests on you. Tries to put armor on him. This is the story of David, right? Invited into Saul's house. Saul loved him. And then Saul hated him, and he's trying to kill him and all this kind of stuff. And here he is, chapter 2 of 2 Samuel. King Saul is dead, and David's like, is it time now? A lot has happened since then. And God says, yeah. Yeah, go up to Judah now. You know, sometimes some of those questions seemed obvious. Sometimes in our life, the questions or the answers seem obvious, but I still think it's a good idea to ask God. So why is that? Because a couple things we saw, God might give us some greater details. But isn't it nice to know that you're standing in a place not because you chose to be here, but because God said, go stand there. There's some confidence in that. Hey, I am where I am because God said. Not because any man, not because any lady, but because God told me. What is God's will? Well, that we be saved. And that we be sanctified. And that we be thankful. What about everything else? We should ask Him. We should ask. We should ask for greater details. We should ask for confidence. What happened? He had strength. 600 men went up against the Amalekites and wiped them entirely out. Our faith will be strengthened. So what should you be asking the Lord about tonight? What have you looked at and said, oh, it's obvious? There were some pretty obvious things that King David didn't say, hey, Abiathar, what do you think? He just said, bring out the ephod. Let's get in touch with God. What are some things in your life? Well, I just want to do. It doesn't matter what you want to do. What is God's will? What does God want to do? That's a big difference. May we follow in the example of David. God, what do you want? God was pretty clear in answering David. He said, well, God doesn't talk to me. Then there's maybe bigger problems. Because God does have relationship with man. And he does talk to us. And he does reveal things to us. And he does lead us and guide us. So if you're asking and he's not answering, maybe there's some other areas in your life we need to explore. You need to look at. Is the ability to communicate open? That's a different lesson. Let's all stand. It's real easy for a lost person. What does God want from me? To be saved. He wants you to put your faith and trust completely in him. How about after that? He wants you to live holy. What else? To be thankful. How about everything else? That's what we're going to need to ask him. Who does he want me to marry? Where does he want me to work? Where does he want me to live? What does he want me to do today? Well, you better ask him. You better call out his name. He'll tell you. We just got to ask. Brother Hodges, will you dismiss us in prayer tonight?